fourth down and one. The Hail Mary coming up, 21-13. Line of scrimmage, the Charger 45-yard line. Simeon faces a three-man rush, steps up, throws the ball. The ball will be batted down at the six-yard line, incomplete, and this one in San Diego is over.
Welcome in, Locked On Broncos podcast. We're into week 7 of the NFL season. Can you believe it? We're almost halfway through this thing. I am your host. My name is Adam Kinney. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Kinney Radio. Follow the show account at Locked On Broncos. Locked On Broncos podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the fastest growing sports audio network in the world right now. So thanks for all of you tuning in and subscribing to all the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. And you can find us at Audio Boom and on iTunes. Broncos-Texans is coming up in the Week 7 matchup. That's going to be Monday Night Football, and there's a couple things to dissect going into this matchup. I'm going to get you everything you need to know this week heading into that game as Brocktober is upon us, as Brock Osweiler returns to Sports Authority Field at Mile High for the first time since leaving the Broncos in the offseason for that huge contract that he received from the Texans. And the Texans are going to be marching in with a 4-2 record just as the Broncos are, so some big, you know, playoff positioning could be at stake here. Tiebreakers at the end of the season, you never know. This is turning out to be a very, very, very big matchup. But first, let's kind of just talk about the week and what's ahead for the Broncos. Gary Kubiak returned to the team on Monday, and he says that his health is good. And how much of an impact is that going to have on the offense in general? They couldn't get anything going against the San Diego Chargers. Joey Bosa made a huge impact in his first start of his NFL career, and Mike McCoy schemed something good against the Broncos offense because they were very stagnant the whole game. They're still having issues in the running game, and how much of that is going to be placed on the shoulders of Gary Kubiak coming back, and is all of that going to be fixed just by getting your play caller back? Because frankly, but people could blame the offensive woes on Gary Kubiak, but frankly, it's really been porous ever since that week 3 matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals. They have not been the same offensive unit in a couple of weeks, and part of that has to do with Trevor Siemian's injury, granted, but even when Siemian was healthy in the Tampa Bay game for the first half, they weren't really able to do much until Paxton Lynch came in, and you don't know how much of Paxton Lynch's success was just because he was rookie quarterback and there's no tape on the guy and he's able to move the ball up and down the field. And then against Atlanta, they weren't able to do anything. And then, you know, it really wasn't until the second half when the Broncos were able to kind of start doing things a little bit on offense. So they were just punting the ball, 6 and out, 3 and out, over and over and over again against the Chargers. So something's got to change here. And I don't know that it totally rests on Gary Kubiak, but I do think that there's certainly one area on the offensive side of the ball the Broncos could improve, and that's going to improve the rest of the game. I'll tell you what that is. But first, I want to talk about the offensive line, because the Broncos do make a move on the offensive line earlier this week as they waive Darian Weems to make room for another player that they claimed off waivers from the Baltimore Ravens. And the Broncos claimed guard Billy Turner from Baltimore. And Turner's a third-year player who started 14 out of 20 games for the Dolphins for his first 3 seasons. And he signed with the Ravens and was waived by them recently. So he's 6'5", 310 pounds, and the Broncos are trying to upgrade some depth on the offensive line. And I thought the Weems actually played pretty well in the couple of times that he had to come in when the Broncos were shuffling things around on the offensive line. So I'm just kind of surprised that he's the guy that had to go. But they make another depth move, and that's a big key to this whole thing too, because if you get some consistency on the offensive line, Billy Turner's not going to play, you know, right off the bat, and he may just be kind of a rotational guy, but a guy that's going to give you a little bit more depth. But the more consistency that you can get at the offensive line position, the better off the Broncos are going to be. But I've been keying on it for weeks. There's one area that they vastly need to improve on, and I'm going to tell you about that. But first, I want to remind you that this episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. We're well into the middle of the NFL season, and SeatGeek should be your go-to for your ticket buying. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the football games that you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I could be anywhere, and just with a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Price could vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket that you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. That's right. This is how you do it. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code, then enter my promo code, LO Broncos, for Locked On Broncos, LO Broncos. SeatGeek's going to send you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. Easy as that. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Broncos today. All right, I've been talking about it for weeks now. What's the one way that the Broncos can really improve themselves offensively? We know that Trevor Siemian can throw the ball a little bit when he's given time in the pocket and things are developing down the field. He can make the right decision and really throw a nice football. So it's not all on Trevor Siemian's shoulders, and the Broncos need to do something to, you know, give him a little break and protect him a little more and just take the load off of your second-year, seventh-round draft pick quarterback, and that's by igniting the running game. That's why it was so the offense was looking so great for the first couple weeks of the season, because they were getting some consistency from the running back position, which has just completely abandoned them and gone away. C.J. Anderson on the season, 94 carries for 330 yards with three touchdowns on the season. That's a 3.5 yards per carry, which is down from his career average of 4.5 yards per carry, and you know, it's tough because you pay C.J. Anderson as much money as you did in the offseason, but you're basically asking him to have another role that he is not familiar with and that he did not do, which got him that contract. That, I mean, he's getting paid every down back money, but he's never been in every down back in the NFL. And I certainly think that C.J. Anderson is capable of, you know, being the face of the Broncos running game and the starting running back. I'm not calling for that. But I think that, and Gary Kubiak's kind of keen on this a little bit more now, as he talked about it this week, that maybe Devontae Booker needs to get a little bit more playing time and a little bit more of a shot. Because when the Broncos running game was at its best last year, it was because it was a good mix between Ronnie Hillman and C.J. Anderson. C.J. Anderson wasn't even the leading rusher for this team in 2015, but he played huge in big moments against the New England Patriots on Sunday Night Football, against the Cincinnati Bengals on Monday Night Football a year ago, and then well into the playoffs and into the Super Bowl. You know, CJ was the one that really made the big key runs, but it was Ronnie Hillman that was really helping him do that, because he was getting the nitty-gritty yards and then you just had a change of pace, and you had a guy with fresh legs on the field at all times between Ronnie Hillman and CJ Anderson. So I still think you could probably get CJ Anderson 15 to 20 touches throughout a game. And then if you give 10 to 15 to Devontae Booker and see what these guys can do together, I think that that's the best way going forward. Devontae Booker so far on the season, and he's just picking up a little bit of steam here over the last 3 weeks or so. But against the Chargers, he had 5 carries for 46 yards and 9.2 average yards per carry in that game. And he was actually the leading rusher for the Broncos against the Chargers. The Atlanta Falcons, not as great of an effort, but only 6 carries for 23 yards. And then against the Buccaneers, 7 carries for 30 yards on the season. On 34 carries, Booker's rushed the ball for 161 yards, which is a 4.7 yards per carry. I think that that's a very good complementary back, but you need to up the carry total. And people got worried about the fumble that he had in week one against the Carolina Panthers, and that was a little cause for concern just in his first game. But I think that he's proven that that's not necessarily the norm for him, and he can protect the football. So I think that the best way to go in going forward is split up the load a little bit and see what you could do with both of these guys with fresh legs on the football field. And I think that Booker is going to be very, very good catching the ball out of the backfield as well. So the only thing you worry about, and this has been a topic of conversation for years in Denver, is what does it mean, is Devontae Booker a capable pass-blocking running back? And so that might be the only thing that's keeping him off of the field. That's what kept Ronnie Hillman off the field for years behind Knowshon Moreno, because Peyton Manning didn't trust him on his right or left side to pick up the key block. And then once he finally did that, he really became, honestly, the starting running back for the Broncos. And then CJ complemented that last year. You know, go back to the game against the Green Bay Packers last year, and that Sunday Night Football game, I think it was in week 7 also, if I'm not mistaken, but week 7 or week 8, of last season, and really what they were able to do in tandem was just so brilliantly played, and that was kind of the first time you saw, hey, the Broncos offense is back because they were able to run the football, and that's going to take the pressure off of everyone else on the offense. And then it's also going to do wonders for your defense because then you're controlling time of possession, you're keeping your defense off of the field, and it's just a better formula with how this team should be set up. They need to start getting consistency. It can't just be 1 week here and then disappear for 3 weeks, because that's what it did last year during stretches of time. So if the Broncos can develop consistency running the football, they're going to be well set for a playoff run. And the Kansas City Chiefs did the Broncos a huge favor this week by beating the Oakland Raiders, so they're still tied atop the AFC West standings, and the Broncos have an opportunity to make up for a bad loss against the Chargers just a week away when they face the San Diego Chargers after this Monday night football game with the Houston Texans. But the Texans are the team at hand, and Brock Osweiler are going to be leading his team into Sports Authority Field at Mile High, looking for a victory against his old squad. And the Broncos are pumped. They're fired up about it. Brandon Marshall had some quotes yesterday about how he wants to kill the Texans and really embarrass them and show that Brock Osweiler made a bad decision by leaving this football team. And there's another guy, and this could be very big for the team if he's able, but the rumors are in the building that DeMarcus Ware is looking for, he's circling this matchup against the Texans to maybe possibly make his return onto the football field. And Shane Ray's been great in his absence, and you haven't really seen as much from Shaq Barrett as you kind of expect. It seems like Ray's really kind of taken a stranglehold on that position, but if you get DeMarcus Ware back, it's tough because of how well that Shane Ray has been playing, but you get just such a leader on the football field. And maybe DeMarcus Ware, because of the way that Shane Ray has played and the depth that you have at that position, you know, maybe only you limit his snaps for the first couple weeks as he's kind of working his body back, and he just becomes kind of a pinch hitter to go and get the quarterback. And he plays 33% of the snaps on the defense, and that just makes him that much more healthy. His legs are going to be fresh at that point. That they're going to have a fresh pass rusher to run in and out at any given time, and I think that that's really going to put a boost into the defense and really help the Broncos in that facet. Last thing I want to bring up here on this episode of Locked On Broncos podcast is Champ Bailey was named to the Colorado Sports Hall of Fame. So a finalist for the Colorado Sports Hall of Fame. So cool moment there for a former Bronco who should probably be in the Ring of Fame at some point, and then certainly the Hall of Fame for the career and what he was able to accomplish with the Broncos. So cool thing happening there for Champ Bailey, and it's always good to see, you know, some of these old guys come back and be around the building and be able to be honored like that. So this is just the first step of a long line of accolades that Champ's going to get in his retirement, and we're going to be looking forward to seeing what's next for old number 24. That's going to do it for us today here on the Locked On Broncos podcast. And tomorrow on the show, we're looking to do a little cross podcast connection here with the Locked On Texans podcast, and we're going to join Robert Land for kind of a mutual podcast, and we'll get his side of things from the Texans, then I'll give my takes on the Denver Broncos, and then, you know, see what we can come up with, a little preview, and then also later in the week we're going to get you your game preview for Monday Night Football of Texans and Broncos. Once again, this is the Locked On Broncos podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, the fastest growing sports audio network in the world. Thanks for subscribing on iTunes and Audio Boom. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Kinney Radio. Follow the show account at Locked On Broncos. We'll see you the next time on the Locked On Broncos podcast.